Well, good morning, and thank you, Sherry. That was beautiful. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And as we rejoice in Him today, He's going to be honored and magnified, and He's going to enjoy the worship and the praises of His people as we send them up today. Would you join me and let's pray together and bless this service. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together on this Sunday morning. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for your goodness. And Father, we just decide right now that we are going to put our focus upon you and just trust in you and open our hearts completely so that you can have your way in our lives to do what you want to do with us today. Father, we invite you to change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives, make us more like Jesus. Let that happen today as we come together to give you worship and praise and to receive your word. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue with that song. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Sing with me this morning. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's sing it again. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Yes, we will rejoice. And be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. And I will say this is the day that the Lord. Rejoice, for He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Amen, amen. Will you stand with me if you're able as we sing, Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of my God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it out this morning. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Arms are here. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sick in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And sing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. old sin. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, and his blood can make the foulest clean. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it again. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, amen. Well, why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him you're glad they're in church this morning. Amen. As you take a seat. Amen. All right, all right. Well, hey, we are privileged with a special number by a beautiful group of ladies this morning. I think they're called Old Sisters, Where Art Thou, right? No. They're going to sing a special. Enjoy as they sing Down to the River to Pray.
To pray, as I went down to the river to pray. So
Amen. Didn't they do a great job with that? Amen. You guys better be careful. We might have to use you a whole lot more often. I want to take a moment this morning just to welcome anyone that may be with us today for the very first time. Never been to Nettles Church before, and we are so always delighted and honored to have new friends that come and join us. And we have a little promise book with the promises of God's Word kind of outlined so that they're easy to locate. If you have a prayer request, as we're singing about going down to the river to pray, sometimes when you pray, you want to pray a scripture promise. And so this little book is something that we trust will be a real blessing to you. And it's available at the back right corner after the service today. I'll be back there for afterwards, and I'd love to just greet you and welcome you personally and present you with one of these little booklets. And so today, thank you if you're with us for the very, very first time. And if you're not your first time, second or third time, welcome back. We're glad that you're here, and we just trust that if you're looking for a home church, you'd consider Nettles Island the church that love is building. A couple of announcements just very, very quickly. Tonight's a big night. Back here at 6 o'clock, we will be hosting the Hope Sound Bible College Concert Choir. They were here last year, and they did a tremendous job. If you were here for that, you just felt the presence of God and just delighted to hear the stories and the testimonies of these kids, how God's called them into ministry. And it just challenges us to just keep on praying for our kids and our grandkids and greats and know that God's got a plan. And so tonight, 6 o'clock, the doors open at 5:30. They'll be setting up from about 4:30 to 5:30. So if you get here real early, we might give you a hammer or a screwdriver and let you help set some risers up. But 5:30, please come, join us, invite somebody, bring somebody, drag your spouse with you if they don't want to come. But we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for the concert. Did we get that slide up? There it is. There it is. So that's just the group that'll be here tonight. One other announcement I want to make, there are many in the bulletin, just look those over at your convenience, but we do have the Nettles Island contributions giving receipts. I know that Pam has been passing some of those out. Some of you have already received them, but if you have contributed in a way that was recorded last year for 2024, we have a receipt for you for your IRS purposes if you wish that, and they will be on the table as you go out the back, the main back doors. There's a little table over there. And Pam will be there in this service and next service. When she's not, then the box will be there. And I believe they're alphabetized, so you just be able to pick that up. But you guys should be okay with Pam here in this service. So don't forget, pick up your IRS giving receipt on your way out today. We have another beautiful special today, and I'm excited to invite Jane to come and to minister in song. And the song that she's singing is Who Am I? And I want you to listen carefully to the words because it so dovetails in a portion of this song with what I'm going to be sharing in just a few moments with the Word of God. So, Jane, God bless you as you minister.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such despair. Oh, no, Calvary, take my place. It's then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he is rugged cross he'd go, for you am I. When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. And he meant it. Just be true, I give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to that old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to that old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Thank you.
God bless.
Amen, Jesus. Thank you. Beautiful. Amen. That was just beautiful this morning. There's a line in there, and Jane, you just hit it for me. You and I didn't talk about this, but you said, and he means it. He means it. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. You're going to hear that today in the message. Just powerful what God wants to share in our hearts and lives today. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, ladies, and thank you, Jane, and thank you, Sherry. What a beautiful way to start the morning and just prepare ourselves and our hearts to hear the Word of God. The message this morning that I'm going to share is out of Psalm 46. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to follow along. I'm in the New International Version today. The title of the message is When Trouble Comes Knocking. When Trouble Comes Knocking. Melvin Newland tells a story about a little fellow named Alexander. Alexander was a boy about 7 or 8 years of age, and he had one of those days when everything went wrong. Disasters, one right after the other. Nothing went right for this boy. In fact, he said it was a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. For instance, when Alexander woke up in the morning, he discovered that he had gone to bed with gum in his mouth, and now it was in his hair. When he got out of bed, he tripped over his skateboard, and then he dropped his sweater into the sink where the water was running, and he said, I just knew it was going to be a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. Then he went to school, and he had a terrible day there too. After school, he had a terrible experience at the dentist's office. And then came supper, and Alexander said, we had cauliflower for supper, and I hate cauliflower. And on TV, all I saw was hugging and kissing, and I hate hugging and kissing. Then my bath water was too hot, and I got soap in my eyes, and I lost my marble down the drain. And then when I went to bed, Nick, must have been his older brother, Nick took back the pillow that he said I could have, and my Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue, and the cat decided to sleep with Nick and not with me. All in all, he said, it was a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. When Alexander finally came to the end of it all, he sighed a heavy sigh and he cried, I think I'll run away to Australia. Do you ever want to run away somewhere? Ever had a moment like poor little Alexander? Probably a lot of moments like little Alexander. And I start the message with that little bit of humor this morning, but I want to say to you today that as I was praying about this message in this week, and early in the week, God began to speak to my heart, and my heart's been heavy this week because I've been thinking about the variety of hardships and the deep challenges and the events and situations that have punched their way into the lives of you, our people, our church family over the past several weeks and months, and even in 2024. We have some folks that just recently are going through some very serious and earth-shaking concerns within their personal lives or their family lives. And we've just recently had folks that have had to walk through the door of death with a child or a grandchild. And even throughout last year, and the situation is just so current in their hearts. Some have recently been diagnosed with cancer. Major health issues, heart issues, life-altering, requiring serious medical surgeries and other treatments. And then there are the family relationships where some of you are going through family trials and traumas and things you never thought would come into your lives. And it feels like your family is maybe crumbling, or at least a part of the family crumbling around you. And I get it. It feels like the world is imploding right before your very eyes, and you feel so very, very helpless in moments like that. Some of you aren't experiencing any of this today, and we're thankful for that. We're grateful for that. You're on the mountaintop of life today. And I love the mountaintop. I love to be on the mountaintop. I hate the valleys where it's cold and it's dark. But one thing I've learned in life is that when I grow, when God grows Rob Volpe, he never grows him on the mountaintop. He grows him in the valley. He grows him through the hardships. He grows him through the difficulties. Now, I don't want those things, but I'll take the benefit of it every time. So what do we do when we're in the midst, if we're not on the mountaintop, but we're in the valley and we're struggling and it feels like our world is imploding? What do we do in the midst of these things? How do we wrestle through it? How do we address it? How do we hold on to our hope? How do we hold on to our faith in the Lord? What's our response as Christians, as believers, when life becomes so overwhelming and when hardships and trials seem to keep rolling in like the tide? I believe the answer is found in the Word of God in Psalm 46, and we're going to look at this powerful passage because I believe it provides the answers to when life feels like it's coming apart at the seams. So the Bible says here in Psalm 46, beginning in the first verse, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fall. God will help her at break of day. Now it's talking about her, meaning Jerusalem, but you could insert your name in there. You could take in the margin of your Bible and you could put where it says God is within her, you can say God is within me and I will not fall. God will help me at daybreak. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge or our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations that he's brought on the earth. He makes the wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, be still. Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you will help me to be as your servant, an able deliverer of that which our hearts are needing and seeking today. For Father, we have folks that love you with all of their heart, but they're going through trials of life. And God, they need to know that you are with them, that you never will leave them, you never will forsake them. God, so I pray that in this message you will increase our faith, you'll enlarge our hope, you'll just give us a sense of peace and a sense of rest that maybe we've been struggling to hold on to, that today would be the day that we know that God, that you have got this. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to, if we have time today, if I don't, I'm going to break it up, but I have four truths out of that passage that I just read that I believe God gives us to hold on to our hope and to hold on to our faith when trouble comes knocking. And so the first one is called, the first principle or truth is hide in Him. When you're going through something that's beyond you, that you don't have answers for, that your mind can't wrap itself around, you don't know what to do. You're praying, you're seeking God, maybe you've even taken some time to fast and pray because you mean that serious business, know the answer. We hide in Him. In verse 1 that we read, God is our refuge. He is our strength, and He promises to be an ever-present help in trouble. If He doesn't mean that, He can't be our God. For if God makes things up and doesn't mean what He says, then that's a lie. And if God's a liar, then He can't be God. And so I'm here to tell you today, He is God, and He always will be God, and He doesn't lie. And He says He's our refuge, He's our strength, and He's our ever-present help. Now that Hebrew word for trouble means this. It means pressed in or confined in a tight space. And you have to forgive me, but one of my phobias is being buried alive. Maybe yours too. Being in a box somewhere with dirt on top of me, 6 feet above me, and going, but I'm not dead yet. That's some real trouble, isn't it? If that were to ever happen. I'm sure it's happened in life somewhere, somehow to somebody. But I'll tell you, that's what that word means. It means when we're in trouble, He's our ever-present help in trouble. And it's the worst kind of trouble. It's pressed in. It's confined in a tight space. You remember the old saying, between a rock and a hard space, right? A hard place. That's what it's talking about. It's not just, oh, I woke up with a headache today. Where's God? This is when life is just coming apart at the seams. God says, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for you. I'm your strength, your refuge, and your help. That's the kind of pressure that the psalmist was talking about. Trouble with the potential to alter or destroy us if there's not some kind of a supernatural intervention. And so when life presses in upon us and when trouble comes, we've got to know, or we can know, that we have a place that we can run to. And like little Alexander, it's not Australia. It's not Australia. We run to God. The Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength. It doesn't matter what form the trouble takes or how long it stays. God alone is our accessible, protected place of refuge and retreat. And we can hide there and we can know that nothing can get through to us unless it goes through Him first. He stands at the door as our guard. And the only thing that comes through in our lives, and I'm talking to believers, and friends, if you're not a Christian today, this present help, this hope, it's something that's available to you, but it starts by you surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. This isn't just a blanket statement for every American or every citizen of the world. This is for the children of God that walk with God and love God. He promises, I'll stand at the door, and nothing gets through unless I allow it to get through, and there's an alternative and an ulterior, a greater purpose in why that is getting through at that time. God's our strength. He's the one. Some may depend on their bank accounts, and some do, and in their investments. Some depend on their jobs and their families or their relationships that they've made with people over their lifetime. But our God is a far better refuge than any of these other things. It's not that relationship that we've invested so much time into that our refuge, that is our refuge and strength. It's not our job. It's not our house. It's not that's our ever-present help in trouble. It's not the economy that gives us strength. It's not the age, the appearance, or the condition of the health of our bodies that provides our help. It's God that provides our help and our strength. He's a safe place to run to, a place to hide. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, 27, a couple of verses I just want to run by just to reemphasize what I'm talking about this morning. It contains awesome, encouraging truths, and it says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God's not going to get tired. If you've ever said, "Oh, I can hold my hand out here for an hour," it might get a little tired, but put a little rock in that hand. Put a 3-pound weight in that hand. And see how long Rob can hold that up. Probably not as long as he's talking right now. But the arms of God are forever, everlasting, and they're strong. They are wonderful. They're everlasting arms. Another verse, Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." That's the key. Where is your trust today? "And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge." God is our refuge. "I'll make my refuge there until these calamities have passed by." What does it mean to take refuge? It means that's where we run to hide. That's where we run to rest and to just let go and let God. The Bible says a couple more scriptures in Psalm 27, verse 5. The next slide, please. "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." And then, of course, Proverbs 18:1, one that I love so much. "The name of the Lord, Jesus, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run to it and they are safe." These are promises of God, saints, promises that we can hold on to. I love that. The name of the Lord. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that doesn't mean someday. That is going to happen physically someday as everybody comes through, as the world that has lived from beginning of time to end of time, as every man, every woman, every teenager, boy and girl walks past Christ, they will bow to his name and his authority. But you and I have already done that. You and I have already surrendered our lives to him. You and I have already said, "God, you're my God, you're my Lord. It's not my way, it's not my will, it's your will and your way in my life. From this point forward, I'm going to follow you." And as we've done that, made him Lord of our life, the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. There's not a devil in hell that has authority over you when you understand as a child of God that you have the right to use the name of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amazing what God has promised us. And so we hide in him. We hide in him. Saints, when you're going through it, and some of you are, hide in him. The second thing that I see in this passage of Psalm 46 is that we then have to believe in him, or trust him. Trust him. The Bible says in verse 2 there, "Therefore, we will not fear." We will not fear. The psalmist is talking about the kind of overwhelming emotional distress that crushes our hearts when life overwhelms us. And he illustrates it by using a metaphor from nature. He says that we're not going to fear even though the earth implodes, even though the earth is giving way and the mountains are falling into the sea and the waters are roaring and the mountains are quaking with their surging. We will not fear. Well, how can we not fear? Human nature. Our world's imploding. Well, the word fear in this verse is from a word that describes great emotional pain, turmoil. I can't think straight. This is so bad. I don't even know which way to go. And we just want to curl up in a ball and hide under our bed. Turmoil and distress. It also in that verse says the phrase "give way," and it refers to something that's totally collapsed. You see, God knows when we're going through the worst of the worst of the worst. He's written about it. He's given us the antidote for it. He's given us the answer in it. So this is the worst of the worst when it's totally collapsed. But then he describes the mountains falling into the sea using that word. And he describes something which was apparently immovable, and suddenly it's being toppled. Can you, now none of us probably will remember this, but back in the days from history we will. Can you imagine being alive during World War II? Maybe some of you were. Maybe you were real little. And all of a sudden, over the radio, you get the announcement that Pearl Harbor's just been attacked. The closest thing that I can relate to that was on 9/11. When I got word that the planes had hit the tower, that they'd gone into the Pentagon, and they probably shot in Somerset, Pennsylvania, in that field. And the shock and the awe and the disbelief. How could this happen? How? That's what he's describing here, that something, we're America. How could they get into our nation like this and do this to us? It's never happened here before. And that's what the folks during the World War II era were thinking. How could they come in and destroy our Pacific fleet like that? That's the thought behind the earth giving way and the mountains falling and the sea roaring and the mountains quaking in their surging. And that's what's happening in some of our lives. The things that we thought we could depend on, the things that we thought were apparently immovable, or suddenly discovered to be just the opposite. And we lean on them to support and sustain us, but they topple over and they fail us when life throws us the hardships and the catastrophic events. I think of Job. I think of Job. I'm not going there. That's not the message. You know the story. You know of everything that he lost. How did he hold up under it? It's one thing to lose all your money, to be wealthy. I'm not talking about, well, I get by. I'm talking about being so wealthy that you have more than you know what you'll ever do with it. And in one day, it's all gone. And then another day comes and servant comes running back and says, your kids are all dead. All of them. All of them. If that isn't bad enough, he gets stricken with a physical disease in his body that casts him out of his house, and he sits outside on an ash heap, scratching sores and boils. God bless his wife. She didn't know what to do. Why don't you just curse God and die? I don't think she was an evil woman. I think she didn't know where to run to hide. She was trying to figure it out on her own. And that's where I'd end up, and that's where you'd end up if we were watching someone we cared that much for that was going through all that. And then don't forget, she lost kids too, and she lost wealth too. We always make her the bad guy. I don't know if we always should. Reminds me of Job. That's what he's talking about. When all these things happen, he says, we're not going to fear. The writer says that even when the world is imploding right before our eyes, right in front of us, the writer says, I'm not going to be overwhelmed with fear. Why? Why could he say that? How could he say that? How could he be different than 1,000 other people? The key is found in the first word in that verse. Therefore. Therefore. That means on the basis of what has just been said. And what had just been said is God is our refuge. And our strength, and our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Let the worst we can imagine come. We will believe that God has got this. Does it mean that you won't have a moment of a hiccup? Does it mean that you won't, for a second, your brain scramble and you'll start to feel a little panic or maybe tears, and you'll, and then all of a sudden you're going to breathe and you're going to say, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. This isn't about me. It's about the Creator who made me. And He's my refuge. And He's my strength. And He's my hope. And He's my support. And He's never going to leave me. And He's never, ever going to forsake me. Let the worst come. Though life tosses us around, and it will at times, the things that we lean on suddenly disappear, we will still put our eyes to the heavens and still believe. Believe in Him. Though circumstances are tumultuous and uncertain, we will believe. Though our hopes and our dreams suddenly wash out from under us, we will believe. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. I have two more points that I'm going to make for next week, because I believe that God's working this morning to do something in this midst, and we didn't pray yet today on purpose. There's a little song that, it's a hymn actually, that I want us to sing. Like a River Glorious. Anybody know that song? You ever hear it? Wait till you hear the chorus of it. We're going to sing that in just a minute. But I know that this morning there are people who are going through it. My heart has been burdened the last several weeks. It's always burdened when I get that call or when somebody says, put so-and-so on the prayer list. And I'm thankful that we're praying. I'm thankful that we're godly praying people. And some of you tell me that you pray on that list every day. And we need to be doing that as a church. We need to be doing that. Because we have people that this past year, and some of you in years past, and you're still maybe dealing with it. And the two things that we need to do today is hide in Him and believe in Him. Next week we're going to remember the things that He's done for us to give us an encouragement boost to our faith. And then we're going to rest in Him. You want to come back for that. But I wonder this morning across this room, how many say, you know what, you've read my mail today, Pastor Rob. I've been going through something very serious. My family, my child, I've lost a loved one. I've had this, I've had that. And I've been just trying to really hold on, tie the night knot and hold on. These four things will enable you to stand strong. Doesn't mean you won't feel grief at times. Doesn't mean you won't feel some pain. Doesn't mean that you won't get weepy once in a while. But those will pass. And you'll breathe again. And you'll realize again, God is in control. And He's got this. How many this morning say, as you go to prayer in a little bit, I just want you to pray for my need. I'm going through some. Hold a hand up. There's a hand, there's a hand, there's a hand, there's a hand, there's a hand. Across this room, there's hands everywhere. You see, God knows what He's doing. He doesn't always wake me up in the middle of the night and say, this is what you're preaching on Sunday. I wish He would make it easy for me. He doesn't always. But on Tuesday morning, the wee hours of the morning, God woke me up. I began to think about the needs and the burdens, began to pray for you. I said, God, we need help. We need answers. We're just humans, you know that. God said, took me to Psalm 46. He said, there's your message. Work it out. God's got some plans for us. Does it mean that we're never going to have a problem if we put these four things into practice? No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, I'm so glad it didn't stop there with a big exclamation point. Many are the afflictions. Deal with it. Get over your life. There's always heaven to look forward to, and there is, and I'm not mocking that, not for a minute. But be of good courage, be of good cheer. I, Jesus said, have overcome. Many are the afflictions, but he has overcome. You have needs today. We're going to believe God together. And I want us to sing this song as our prayer. I want us to, as we sing it, would you just ask God, God, increase my faith to trust you more. And then I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to believe today is the day where the door begins to break through. Where the emotions that have been distraught, God's going to give you peace. He's going to give you hope. He's going to give you joy. He's going to give you satisfaction. You're going to taste. You're going to come to the table of the Lord and you're going to taste the good things. Even in the midst of the difficulties. You see, when you hide in Him, you're in His presence, in His place, in His tabernacle. He's got a table that He sets before us in the presence of our enemies. It's a good table with good blessings to carry us through. Would you stand with me and let's sing this. Let's worship the Lord. Steve, lead us in it. And then we'll go to prayer.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace over all the glorious in its right hand.
You to do something with me this morning. You can continue to play if you'd like. Those of you that raised a hand a moment ago, I'm going to ask you if you're comfortable. I want you to lift your hand real high again. You're going to have to lift it high because we're standing. And I want somebody to go to that person. If you're standing near them, look around, everybody. There's a hand up. I want somebody to put a hand on a shoulder. Keep your hand up until we get somebody. Come on, don't be afraid to move out. Don't be afraid of what I'm saying today. I believe this is a God thing. It's okay. This might not be how you've done church. When the Spirit of God is moving, we've got to listen to Him. Hands up. Somebody with a hand on them. Amen. Get over there. Let's just say we're a family. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Amen. When they get by you and there's somebody with you, can put your hand back down. That way I can see. I don't want to miss a hand. There's still a hand over here. Okay. That's somebody there. I don't want to miss anybody. I just need to be obedient here. God loves you this morning so much. Like the song that Jane sang, He gave His life. Why would God give His life? Why would Jesus suffer so immensely to save us and then kick us to the curb in all the problems and the trials and the difficulties? I can tell you He hasn't done that. He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's the waymaker. He's the peacemaker. He's the God who restores. We're going to go to Him and we're going to ask today. And I want you, as you raise your hand, I want you to just give it to God. Somebody praying with you. They don't know your need. They don't need to know. The Holy Spirit is going to work in this service. And we're going to believe today that your pain, your suffering, your struggle, your illness, God's got this. We want to pray for a man named Tony and a man named Brian. And we also want to pray this morning for those that are on our list, and I didn't bring mine up. If I can have that, I just want to name the new ones, and I want to hold this list. We've got Bruce, we've got Ada, we've got Frank, we've got Joel, we've got David, and we've got Sue, new folks that have come to this list as well as all these others. So let's pray together, and let's believe. Church, the faith of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. We've got more than that here today, so let's believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every name, I stand before you and we stand, O God, coming before your throne today in humble adoration. God, knowing that we are unable, we are people who cannot do the impossible, we are people that struggle when times get tough. But Father, you have called us today. You've called us today to run to you, to come to you, to put our faith and our trust in you as the psalmist has encouraged us to do, to hide in you and to believe in you. And so today there are folks that are standing in this service that have a burden that's beyond their ability to handle. Their world has imploded before them, whether it's been this week, this month, last year, or even beyond that. And God, we pray over the needs on this bulletin today as we've named people. Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that the God of this universe, the God that's omniscient and omnipotent and all sufficient, God, that you will just move in the lives of your people today. Father, for every hand that was raised, for every name that's on this bulletin, God, we are standing in the gap today. We are standing, God, believing that nothing is impossible with you. God, we pray that you would just begin to work in hearts, work in lives. We pray for healing of hearts. We pray for restoration of emotional distress today. We pray for those that have suffered strokes and heart attacks and other physical debilitating things that are going on. We pray against the cancers today. We pray, God, that you are a God of a good report. And we trust today that our God has the answers and has the hope. And God, it's not because we're worthy. It's not because we're good. It's because we love you and we've trusted in you and we put our confidence in you. And God, I pray today that you would just lift the level of our faith. Lord, for faith is what moves the mountain in our way before you, O God. And God, our faith is what comes up as a sweet incense before the very throne of God. And so, Father, I lift these people up. God, our burden is for them today. Our passion is for them today. And we pray, O God, that you would move in a mighty way, that what the enemy has meant for harm and for destruction, we place him under the feet of Jesus, under the name of Christ. And Father, we pray that you would just come move in and do a mighty work. God, let nothing stand in the way, for nothing is too hard for you. And so, Father, we give you all of this in your mighty name. We ask you to move. We ask you to work. And Father, we lift our eyes up and we begin to say thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord, because faith begins to thank before the answer is seen. Faith is the substance of what we're hoping and trusting and praying and believing for before the answer comes. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the answers. Thank you for the work. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the peace. Thank you, Lord, for moving in the lives of these, your people. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Would you sing that last chorus just one more time, and then Steve will lead us in our closing anthem. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed.
Amen. You are dismissed.